Next Sunday is Spring Ahead. So if you don't want to be embarrassed walking in at 11 instead of 10, don't remember, Saturday night, set your clocks ahead. Need a Bible? Slip your hand up. We're going to get right into God's Word this morning. Everybody's got their Bible? Okay. Keep your hand up there. The ushers will put a Bible in it, and you're welcome to keep it. We love to give out God's Word here. The Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapters 7 and 8 this morning. God's got a great sense of humor. You probably realize that already with me just standing up here. But I'm driving to church this morning, and I pull up at a stoplight, and there's this father with his young boy, and they're right at the crosswalk. And he's down on his knees, and he's teaching him about the red light and the green light and about the walk, don't walk, and all this stuff. And I look at the little boy, and he's going, And I thought, that's probably what you see, Lord, when you're talking to me. I'm looking all over the place, you know. So God gives us these little lessons, doesn't he, in life. And that's why we always pray that God would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to receive what he has for us in his word here this morning. So let's do that. Father, thank you for your precious word, which is truth. In a world that's filled with half-truths and lies, thank you, Lord, that we can just rest our souls here this morning in this fellowship of believers. You're the guest of honor. We thank you for your precious word, which is truth, and that you would speak to our hearts. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to receive with good, rich soil to receive the seed which is planted that we might bear much fruit. So, Lord, you be the teacher here this morning. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and insight as we look into your precious word. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 7 here this morning. Last Sunday in chapter 6, we witnessed the opening of the six of seven seals of judgment that came upon the earth, or that's going to come upon the earth during the tribulation period. We're to be ready, watching, waiting, witnessing, working, be about our Father's business, because there's many things that we see going on in our world today that kind of, I just had this urgency in my heart of the trump of God sounding and the dead in Christ rising and those of us who are alive being caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We're closer to the rapture than ever before. And I think we need to be ready. And I've shared just about every week for the past couple of years that just before Paul the Apostle writes about the rapture of the church, he writes about how the church needs to be ready. We need to be sanctified. That means we're set apart unto God. We need to live pure lives before him. And I think that's so, so important if we truly sense the urgency of the return of the Lord. Last week, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, opened the first six seals. You see, the door was open for John, and the door is still open in heaven right now. And John got caught up into heaven. And he looked over, and there was the Father holding a scroll in his hand. And John began to weep because no one was worthy to open the seals, the seven seals. And he began to weep, and all of a sudden one of the elders came to John, and he said, there is one, the Lamb of God, who is worthy to open the seals. And last week we read six of the seven seals that were opened, and judgment was unleashed upon the earth. And that's what's going to happen. I know sometimes we find it hard to imagine when we read the revelation of Jesus Christ, what's coming? I mean, you think it's bad now. Have you noticed a decline in things going on in the world and in our country lately? It just seems as though, you know, things are getting worse and worse and worse, darker and darker. And we were talking the other day about how the Apostle Paul wrote that there would be a stupor that would come over the world. And man, I'll tell you what, there's some stupid things going on right now. And I just sense this urgency so in my heart that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is getting ready to call us home. And so beginning last week, When Jesus began to open the seals, we saw the Antichrist and war, famine coming upon the earth, death, martyrs, and cosmic disturbances. This morning, chapter 7 actually comes before the opening of the seventh seal. When we get to the first verse of chapter 8, Jesus Christ will open the eighth or the seventh seal, which will introduce two important groups of believers. This morning, we're going to look at the 144,000 Jewish believers that God will seal and use during the tribulation period. This is not the Jehovah's Witnesses. When I see them and they say they're one of the 144,000, I go, oh, what tribe are you from? Are you Jewish? This also really grieves my heart that there's some false teaching going around right now saying that God is finished with Israel. If God is finished with Israel, where are these 144,000 Jews going to come from that are going to evangelize the world during the tribulation period? Be very, very careful. Make sure you stay in God's Word. And make sure that you stay close to the Lord in your walk, because one of the things that Jesus said would happen just before his return is there would be false teachers. And there's so much false teaching going on, it just blows me away. And that so many people would be falling for heresy today. Multitudes are, and by the way, not only do these false teachers say that Jesus is finished with the Jews, but also they say that the Old Testament isn't relevant anymore. And that is a lie right out of the pit of hell. We need Old Testament and New Testament. In the Old Testament, Jesus Christ is concealed. In the New Testament, he's revealed. And even when he rode into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey, he fulfilled over 330 Old Testament scriptures. And when we look at the Old Testament, there are many, many things written just in the first chapter that people are trying to change today. Our kids are being taught in school that evolution is how we got here. You're a monkey's uncle. Or the Big Bang. No, my Bible tells me in the very first verse that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So you tell me, is the Old Testament important? How about further on in Genesis chapter 1 where he says that God created us male and female? Hello? I think the school system needs to wake up. There's only two genders, male and female, period. And look what they're doing to our kids. They're polluting their minds. They're perverting the minds of our children today. And so we need both the Old and New Testament. That's why we teach the whole Bible here. And so here we see that there's going to be 144,000 Jewish believers. Multitudes of Gentiles from all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues are going to be saved during the tribulation period. And we're going to see that in a moment. What really breaks my heart is that maybe some of those people that I know and love might be among those that are left behind at the rapture of the church. I'm sure every one of us in this room has someone that we know and we love, that we want to know, that we want to come to Jesus Christ before the trumpet sounds. I can't imagine having to go through the tribulation period. But God, with his great love and mercy, is going to still try to reach them with the gospel, with these 144,000 Jews that are going to preach the gospel. And so this chapter this morning will answer questions about the end of chapter 6. At the end of chapter 6, we read, "For the great day of wrath has come, and who will be able to stand?" And so those in this chapter will be able to stand and are the ones in chapter 7, verse 14, who will come out of the tribulation and wash their robes and be made white in the blood of the Lamb. And so, the two groups described in this chapter here this morning, we'll see in the first section, verses 1 to 8, we'll read that in a moment, are Jews, numbered at 144,000, and they are sealed on the earth. Then the second group we'll see is chapter 7, verse 9 to 17, Gentiles from all nations, without number, who are saved. And so the Jews, according to Matthew 24, will be God's special witnesses, and the multitudes of Gentiles will be saved during their ministry during the tribulation period. But the best thing to do is invite Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life right now. Because when we continue through the revelation of Jesus Christ, we're going to see some heavy-duty stuff, folks, that's going to take place right on this planet that we are on right now. And when I read this stuff, I just can't believe that this is going to happen. And so chapter 7 clearly indicates that a great multitude of both Jews and Gentiles are going to be saved after the church is caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And as I mentioned, the best time to give your life to Jesus is right now. Right now, if you don't know him. So let's look at the first section here, verses 1 to 8, the sealed Jews. And this is what the word of the Lord says. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000. Of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. At the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 were sealed. At the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. And of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. I love this. This shows us, again, that God is in control of everything. I know we're looking at the Ukraine today. We're looking at what's going on in the Soviet Union today. We need to be praying for both sides. God has believers on both sides. And, you know, we have to be very, very careful what we listen to on the news. We need to follow the good news. And if you follow the good news, you know exactly what's going to happen one day. I'm not saying this is it with the invasion of Ukraine, but the Bible very clearly tells us that Magog and Gog are going to invade Israel one day. They will be drawn in. God's going to put hooks in their jaws and draw them down in to invade Israel. And this very well, like I said, I'm not going to speculate. I'm not going to sensationalize God's word in the book of Revelation. But this could be the beginning of what prophecy says is going to happen in the end times. But God is in control of everything. That's why I don't fear. I don't fear COVID. I don't fear the end times. But what really causes my heart to fear and to be anxious is the ones that I know and love that don't know Jesus Christ yet. But this also encourages my heart that he's going to make every effort to reach them. God's in control of everything. God is in control of nature, as we see here, and oftentimes uses angels to do it. Look at the first verse. They control the wind. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or any tree. So there it says they controlled the wind. They were flapping their wings yesterday, weren't they? Also, we will see in chapter 14, verse 18, they will bring fire upon the earth. Also in chapter 16, verse 5, they will bring water upon the earth. So God uses these messengers, these angelic beings, to even, you know, control nature here on earth. And so here in verse 1, God uses them to control the wind. It's a calm before the storm. And that's another thing I kind of sense right now, just kind of a calm before the storm. as a great storm is about to break forth upon the earth. God is going to use the forces of nature to bring judgment on mankind. And it's going to be some heavy stuff. Have you noticed on some of the television commercials and in some of the movies that they are bringing out that they're trying to desensitize people to things that are going to happen in the tribulation? A lot of these commercials I see, man, it's like all hell breaking loose on earth. In the movies, the same thing. We went to the movie last week to see that Kurt Warner movie, which was great. I'd highly recommend that. But we had to sit through these twisted previews before the movie started. And a lot of them looked like the tribulation period. And when I see stuff like that, I'm going, look at the enemy. He's trying to desensitize people's hearts to scary things. And there's this desensitization going on, I think, in the hearts of many people today. And a lot of it's coming through the internet, the television set, the movies, and all of that stuff. But I really, really sense a calm before the storm. The calm before this terrible devastation is until God has sealed 12,000 of his people from each tribe. He's going to put his seal on their heads. The number of those sealed, 144,000. And these 144,000 are clearly Jewish believers who are sealed on their foreheads and are giving proof, their living proof, that they belong to God. And we need to know that as well. We need to know, as God's children, that we are sealed, not on our foreheads, but in our hearts. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that we are sealed by the person of the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. Are you sealed? Do you have the seal? And that's the all-important thing, to know that we are children of God, to know that we're sealed, to know that we're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we are, one of the fruits of the person of the Holy Spirit is peace. We don't sweat the small stuff. We know what's coming. But the all-important thing is to be ready and to have a pure life and to be sanctified unto God. And we are here to be witnesses, to be light and salt to people that are lost. It's almost like this last call that's happening. Chapter 14, verse 1 tells us that the seal is the Father's name written on their foreheads. Yeah. These Jewish people, 144,000 of them, imagine that. 144,000 evangelists on this world, on this earth. This is in direct contrast. You're probably thinking, wait a minute here. Isn't this kind of a picture of the mark of the beast as well? Well, this is in direct contrast to those who are following Antichrist, and they will have the mark of the beast on their forehead and on their right hand. Chapter 13, 17, 14, 11, 16, 2, and 19, 20 tells us about the mark of the beast. And that's another thing. We were sitting to fellowshipping yesterday after men's prayer. And you know what? The mark of the beast can come on so quickly right now. Why? Because if another virus comes through, another COVID, if you would, that causes people to really be paranoid and not touch money. I noticed during the COVID thing, I would go to get change at the store or something, and they would put it on the counter. They wouldn't even put it in my hand. What if something happens that's so devastating you couldn't trade money? Then all of a sudden, guess what? One world currency, of course. And then the next thing you know, we would have to have a mark on your forehead or on your right hand to buy and sell. I mean, we're really close. This could happen. And so here we see that in direct contrast to those following the Lord, we have the mark of the beast with those with a mark on their forehead and on their right hand. So God's seal is going to protect these Jews from the judgments that are going to harm the earth. Look at the second verse. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea. Whoa. This judgment's going to occur in chapter 8 when the angels blow their trumpets. The reason that we have a shofar behind me is because it's a reminder that the trump of God is going to sound very, very soon one day. The shofar. Man, that's going to be music to our ears, but it's going to be terror to a lot of hearts that are still here. And when we see chapter 8, what's going to happen when the angels blow their trumpets, it's pretty heavy-duty stuff. The judgment here is going to intensify dramatically. Now, the second group, verses 9 to 17, the second group of people are going to be Gentiles from every nation, tribe, kindred, tongue, who are saved during the tribulation period. And we're going to meet them again in chapter 14. But let's look at verse 9 here this morning. And after these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So here we have the second group, Gentiles, saved during the tribulation period. How? Well, verse 10 tells us in the second part of verse 10, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Even those who are saved during the tribulation period can only be saved through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who came to take away the sins of the world. And so here we see again that God reaches them with the good news of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And through God and through Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, we see that those that are saved during the tribulation period, it's because of God sending his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to save us from our sins. Notice they're clothed with white robes. You know that you're clothed with a robe right now. The Bible says that when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, we are robed in his righteousness. I know we don't always feel that way. I don't. But God the Father sees us through the blood of his Son, and we are robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Clothed with white robes. Here they're holding palm branches, which is a sign of victory all through the Old Testament with the Jews. Today, salvation comes through repentance and confessing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. During the tribulation, they will be without the necessities of life. Can't even imagine what that's going to be like. Why? Because they refuse the mark of the beast, and they can't buy or trade or sell anything. And so there's going to be hunger. There's going to be thirst. There'll be no shelter unless they take the mark of the beast. Wow. And look how easy today people fall prey to the world system. You know, we make wicked, evil laws, and how sad it is that the people in this world conform themselves to these wicked, evil laws. The Bible says in the last days they'll be calling good evil and evil good, and look what we're approving of in our world today. And so how easy will it be for them if they have to take the mark of the beast to get something to eat or clothing or food or shelter, whatever it might be? There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be taking the mark. They will be put to death, those that refuse the mark of the beast. They will be martyred for their faith. Verse 11 again. Notice. And the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures fell on their faces before the throne of God and worshiped God. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" I said, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple." And so it's hard to even imagine a worship service like this. You know, can you imagine with all of those people around the throne of God, just worshiping the Lord? Amen, and blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Folks, we're on the verge of the greatest worship service that has ever been known to mankind. Before the throne of God. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? I can't. Today, unfortunately, many worship services are just entertainment. Rather than this being a platform, in many churches that call it a stage. And they're performers rather than worship leaders. The term worship leader means you lead the flock of God into worshiping the true and the living God. And we're to worship from our very souls. We talked about that yesterday. Ryan did a great study out of the Psalm 105 for the men's prayer yesterday. And how King David, wherever he was, he sang praises and songs and hymns to the Lord from his very soul. And I jokingly said that most of those that heard David's songs were his sheep, because David was a shepherd and he was out in the fields and he used to sing songs and hymns and praises, a lot of them which are written in the Psalms, to just his sheep listening. But yeah, look what we have today. We have Psalms. We have all of those beautiful Psalms written again in the Old Testament that are songs of hymns and praises to the true and the living God. David was a man of worship, and we need to worship the Lord as well. And it's not about your voice, how good you sound. It's all about your heart. And again, I've many times mentioned that worship is not for you. Worship is for him. We're singing to him. That's why we call him hymns. And I think it's so important to realize and to recognize who we're singing to. And I can't even imagine a worship service like this, can you? Man, oh man. Who are these arrayed in white robes? Where did they come from? They're the tribulation saints. And notice here, we see the blessings that are described after coming out of the tribulation period. Verse 15 says that they were before the throne of God. Now, after coming out of the tribulation period, they have perfect nearness to God. Nothing more can separate them from God. When we get to heaven, nothing, absolutely nothing will ever, for eternity, separate us from the love of God. Verse 15 also shows us they were serving him day and night. We're going to serve the Lord when we get to heaven. Perfect service. Verse 15, he who sits on the throne, dwelling among them. Meaning, we're going to have perfect fellowship with the Lord one day in heaven. Verse 16, they shall never hunger or thirst anymore. Jehovah Jireh, we're going to have perfect satisfaction in heaven. Verse 16, the sun nor the heat shall strike or burn them. We're going to have perfect security in the Lord when we get to heaven. Also, verse 17, I love this. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. What we see here is we're going to have perfect guidance throughout all eternity. And again, it's hard to imagine perfection, isn't it? Because we live in an imperfect world. And God will also wipe away every tear from our eyes one day. We're going to have perfect joy. And again, this is what we have to look forward to. I know this is a picture of the tribulation saints, but it's also a picture of what you and I have to look forward to one day when we are around the throne of God. So now, chapter 8, we're back to the seals. Here in chapter 8, we have the opening of the seventh seal. Last week, we saw six of them. And these six preceded, of course, the seventh seal that's going to be opened. And this also will precede seven trumpet judgment. And again, judgment upon the earth is going to intensify. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. And so this morning, out of the seven trumpet judgments we're going to see, we're going to look at four of them. And the wrath of God is going to continue to increase and intensify. And again, we can't even imagine that, can we? I can't. That in his wrath, God will remember mercy, though. He's going to remember mercy in sending forth the 144,000 for the salvation of those that are still here that will turn to the Lord. Despite the wrath of God and the terror of Satan, multitudes are going to be saved. Multitudes beyond number because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God's way of salvation has always been the same. Through faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. The sad part is, and we'll get to chapter 8 in a moment, multitudes at that time will reject Jesus Christ still, and they will trust in the beast, Antichrist. Just like today, many people choose Satan over Jesus, don't they? Look around. Look what people are doing today. They're choosing the ways and the works of Satan over the ways and the works of Jesus Christ. And look what they're missing out on. I mean, every day, if you think it's bad today, just wait till tomorrow. I looked at an article in a newspaper 2 weeks ago. They now have concentrated cannabis that's going to come. They're going to sell it in California throughout the nation. It's a 2-ounce bottle of concentrated cannabis oil that you can mix with whatever you want. Not only that, there was an article in the paper last week that they're now going to put alcohol in Mountain Dew. And look what the enemy's doing. He's trying to draw our kids in through Mountain Dew, through all this other stuff, through seltzer water, and, you know, oh, everybody's doing it. I bought that lie, too, when I was a kid. Oh, come on, don't be a wimp. Everybody's doing it. And you know my testimony. I ended up being a full-blown alcoholic. Yeah. Oh, we had lemonade. Hard lemonade. And all this other stuff. Look how Satan works, man. Did you ever think that marijuana would be legalized in America? It's crazy what's going on here. Just yesterday, I pull up to a stop sign, look over, and this lady's vaping right next to me. Getting wasted. That was after she cut me off on the road. So what I usually do is I roll up my Bible and go, yeah, man. So true, man. It's like we're legalizing sin. And that doesn't surprise me because the Bible says in the end times we're going to be calling good evil and evil good. We could lay out a list of things today that were evil back when we were kids and now they're called good. Yeah, we've legalized them. And a lot of people think because it's legal that God approves of it. And there's nothing further from the truth. Crazy. And so the opening of the seventh seal and the blowing of the trumpets after the 30 minutes of silence is now going to happen. Look at the first 6 verses. When he opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven for about a half hour. And I saw the 7 angels who stand before God, and to them were given 7 trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and an earthquake. And so the 7 angels who had the 7 trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Wow. 30 minutes of silence in heaven. This is, again, the calm before the storm. Silence. The host of heaven had just worship the Father and Jesus Christ with tremendous praise. And now here in verse 1, Jesus now opens the seventh seal and there's silence in heaven for 30 minutes. And again, what was that like? I don't know. John does not tell us what caused the silence, but the silence was the calm before the storm. In verse 2, seven angels are now given seven trumpets, and they stand before God. To the Jews, trumpets had three important uses. And again, that's why we're reminded with the shofar here. Number one, they rallied the people together. That's why we're waiting for the trump of God to sound. I'm not waiting for the Donald. I'm waiting for the trump of God, because that is going to draw us out of this world. And it's going to rally God's people together in heaven at the wedding supper of the Lamb. And so one of the reasons they blew trumpets in Israel was to rally the people together. Secondly, this would lead the troops into battle at wartime. Thirdly, they would announce special occasions, like on Mount Sinai when Moses was given the law, or when a king was enthroned, or a conquest like Jericho. They would sound the trumpet on special occasions. And so here, the silence in heaven is followed by an angel at the altar in heaven. He has a censer and much incense with all of the prayers of the saints. Can you imagine that? And we talked about that before. Every single one of your prayers God has in heaven in golden bowls. Yeah, every one of our prayers, that's hard to even imagine. That every single prayer you have ever prayed, even those one-word prayers like, help, God's got them all. And here we see that this angel in heaven with a censer brings them with incense before the Lord, all of the prayers of the saints. And verse 4 tells us that they ascend before God. Now, prayer is not to get man's will done in heaven, but it is to get God's will done on earth. That's what Jesus prayed in the Lord's Prayer, didn't he? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And many believe these are the prayers of the tribulation saints. It is then, look at verse 5 and 6, where he says, then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And so the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And so here we see it very well could be the prayers of the tribulation saints praying for help, praying for God to punish the enemy, the Antichrist system. And in answer to their prayers, the angel with the censer fills it with fire from the altar and throws it to the earth. And again, what is that going to be like? The good news is we'll never know. There was noises and thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes. And then it says in verse 6, the seven angels who had seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now it's really going to come down. The first four trumpet judgments is going to affect the land, the sea, the water, and the heavens. The fifth and sixth causes the release of demonic forces and torment, and people are going to be killed. And the seventh trumpet will proclaim God's kingdom. Again, horrific stuff. And this is only the second set of judgments. There's a third one that's going to come as well. But can you imagine demonic forces being loosed from the pit of hell to torment and to kill? And so here this morning, let's take a look at the first trumpet. Verse 7. The first trumpet, vegetation struck. The first angel sounded, and with hail and fire, followed mingled with blood. And they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Again, this is hard to imagine. It's hard to comprehend. And again, oftentimes we relate things like this to what we maybe saw in a movie or something. But you know what? I can't even imagine what's going to take place on this earth with these things. Hail and fire mingled with blood. 1/3 of all the trees burned up. All green grass burned up. This reminds us of the 7th plague that God sent against Egypt. Prophet Joel says that in the last days there will be blood and fire in the last days. This majorly affects the food supply. Because when he talks about these things being burned up, you know, the 1/3 of the trees and the green grass and all this speaks of fruit trees. It speaks of pasture lands, which, of course, is where we get meat and milk supplies from. All of these things are going to be devastated. Verse 8 and 9. Second trumpet. The sea struck. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burned with fire was thrown into the sea, and 1/3 of the sea became blood. Again, we can't even comprehend what that was like. Of course, we saw that in Exodus with the children of Israel when God brought the plagues against Egypt. 1/3 of the sea becoming blood. And what that will cause, as we see here, 1/3 of the sea creatures are going to die. 1/3 of the ships are going to be destroyed. Again, this is an ecological disaster as well as an economic disaster. 3/4 of the earth's surface is ocean right now. So can you imagine 1/3 of that becoming like blood? If you live here in the Coachella Valley, every once in a while, when all the fish and stuff die in the salt and sea, the wind changes and we're going, whoa, you know. We know what that's like. I can't imagine what it's going to be like when 1/3 of the ocean is blood and all of a sudden all of these things are dying, the sea creatures and everything. Can you imagine the stench? Ugh. And so 3/4 of the earth's surface is ocean, and we're going to see water pollution and stench and disease from the dead creatures like never before. Today, when it comes to ships, do you know how many ocean-going vessels there are out there? We're talking ships. Over 40,000 ocean-going ships right now. And 1/3 of those ships are going to be destroyed. What will that affect? Supplies. We think it's bad right now with all these ships with containers off the shore that we can't get up to unload. You imagine 1/3 of the ocean-going vessels destroyed. 10 and 11. The waters are going to be struck. We've already seen the ocean. And then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on 1/3 of the rivers and on the springs of water. And the name of the star is Wormwood. 1/3 of the waters became wormwood. And many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Now, we see the judgment of God with these trumpets is going to head inland. Now the rivers and the lakes and the wells and all are going to be affected, making water in 1/3 of the bodies of water taste like wormwood. And it says here that many will die. You know how many major rivers there are in the world today? We're talking major rivers, over 100 major rivers in the world. Can you imagine how that's going to impact the world? One of those rivers is 4,000 miles long, the Amazon River. And they will become so polluted that it will cause death upon the earth. Fish also will be affected. Waterfowl, ducks, geese, all of that stuff. Again, and I want to just interject a point that I've been sharing with you since we started the judgments in the revelation of Jesus Christ. This should not cause us to fear. This is not where we're going to be if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But again, the ones that we should fear for are those that are going to be left behind. And there's going to be multitudes upon multitudes of people left behind that unfortunately are going to have to experience this stuff. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like. I hear people often say, I wouldn't want my worst enemy to have to go through that. Well, what does Jesus tell us to do for our enemies? He tells us to pray for them. Love your enemies. Pray for them. I wonder how many, you don't have to raise your hand, have prayed for Putin. I'm not going to name some of our public officials. How many of you prayed for them, for their salvation? We're commanded to love our enemies. Bless those who curse you, do good to those who despitefully use you, and pray for them. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for me. None of us are worthy of heaven. We're all worthy to go through the tribulation period. And so we have to change our whole thought, change our whole way of thinking, and line it up with the heart of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do? He loved his enemies when he died on that cross for you and for me. He loved us. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And I think it's time that we prayed for Russia, China. It's time that we prayed for all these countries that are coming against Israel. But keep your eyes on Israel. That's where it's all going to take place. That's what Jesus told us in Matthew 24. But how should we be praying today? We don't have to live in fear. We're going to be out of here when the trump of God sounds. But what we do need to do is pray for those that don't know Christ. I mean, the time is getting short, folks. It's time that we really practice what we preach. We're to love them and pray for them. Verse 12. The fourth trumpet. The heavens struck. Whoa. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. When God says, woe, God means woe. Oftentimes we use that word and it's no big deal, but when God says woe, you need to listen up. So here's the fourth trumpet. Imagine desolating the heavens. One third of the sun. How's that going to affect the climate here? With one third of the sun destroyed. It's going to get cold. One third of the moon. I've been told, I'm not a scientist, but I've been told that the moon even affects the waves in the ocean and all this other stuff. I wasn't a science whiz in fifth grade, but one third of the moon. One third of the stars. Again, can't even imagine what that's going to be like. This fourth trumpet is the fourth judgment. It's going to affect the entire world, and there's yet more to come. Because it gets more and more intense and devastating. And because it gets to the very source of the earth's life and energy, which the sun does, imagine the challenges, the changes. Excuse me. Temperatures, health, food growth, and not just human nature is going to suffer, but all of nature, all of God's creation is going to be affected. And like I said, we don't have to fear. Perfect love casts out all fear, and we have the perfect love of Jesus Christ living within all of our hearts. He loves you desperately. But I really believe with all of my heart that the reason we are still here is we are going to be God's salt and light to reach a dying world out there. Every day, God brings people across your path and mine that need to know Jesus Christ. And oftentimes, I look at people and when I talk to them and meet them and think, man, is that person going to be here during the tribulation period? How sad that would be. And I think it's so important that we share the love of Jesus Christ with them. At this point, another angel appears. Three woes. Whoa, whoa, whoa. As if he's saying, if you think this is horrible, the worst is yet to come. And again, I chuckle inside with what I hear from the world out there. The best is yet to come. You ever hear people say that? How about a pastor in Texas writing a book called Your Best Life Now? Why would I want to go to heaven if this is the best life now? I got news for you. For the world, this is the best it's going to get. For the believer, this is the worst it's going to get. We're going to be out of here one day. But in the meantime, get your eyes off of you, get your eyes on Jesus Christ, and get out there with a broken heart for the lost. Our heart should be broken for them. Pray for them. Love them. Man, the worst is yet to come. As we close for this morning, we're reminded, we're to be reminded of where we came from. At the beginning of creation, at the beginning of human history, heaven and earth were perfect. It was good. God said it was good. Six times. It's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. Our first parents honored God. Our first parents honored His word. God spoke to them verbally, and they obeyed His word, and they honored His word. But guess who entered in? The guy that's running to and fro right now, who disguises himself as an angel of light, Satan. He lied. He said to Eve, "Has God indeed said?" And you know what? He's still doing that today to people. "Has God indeed said?" Oh, the Bible, that was written by man. I got news for you. It was written by 40 men over 1,500 years. It's hard to get two men to agree on something, never mind 40. And guess what? It all lines up perfectly with all 40 of those guys that God gave the word of God to through the power of the Holy Spirit. This book is exactly perfect. Every cross T, every dotted I, and this is what's going to get you to heaven. God's word. Manufacturer's handbook. Yeah, God's word. We need it today like never before. Beware, Christians, because there's more and more liars coming on the scene. And a lot of them, unfortunately, are in pulpits today. That's why I think it's so important that we pass out Bibles for every service, and you read the Bible and you follow along and you hold my feet to the fire. I don't ever want to be wrong. Because my Bible tells me I'm going to have to stand before the Lord one day and receive a stricter judgment because I'm teaching the word, James 3:1. And you know what I found over the years too as well? It's the truth of God's word that saves people's souls. Why would you want to give people anything else but the word of God? It's a word of God that pierces our heart. It's a word of God that draws us to Him and changes our lives and our minds and our souls. It's God's word that leads us to Jesus Christ. Satan lied. Has God indeed said? And Satan tempted them to disobey God, and guess what? They did. And since then, a great chasm, a great gulf has been between heaven and earth. And guess what? Only Jesus can bridge that great gap. Jesus Christ, again, there's a lot of false teaching going out there that tell you you can go to heaven through someone other than Jesus Christ. That is a lie right out of the pit of hell. Mary won't get you there. Buddha won't get you there. Only Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who came to take away the sins of the world, can get you to heaven. Period. God makes it very simple. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, and Him alone. Oh, Pastor Joe, you're so dogmatic. No, I'm sheepmatic. I love God's sheep. I want to see every single one of you in heaven one day. And only Jesus can bridge that gap when He came and died for the sins of the world. Bottom line, just as Pilate asked the people, "What will you do with this man who is called Jesus the Christ?" That's the one question that every person will have to answer on the planet. God will say, "What did you do with my son?" What will you do with this man who is called Jesus the Christ? Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? If not, then God is speaking to your heart here this morning, and you would like to be saved and born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, I'd like you to stand right now and do what we did when we accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and God the Father has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so this morning, if you want to be saved, I'd like you to stand as we close before we partake of communion. Well, you know what we need to do? We need to go outside of these doors, be salt and light to a world that's perishing out there. Because very, very soon, sooner than we think, the trump of God is going to sound. As I mentioned last week, I feel awful sorry for the pastor who's standing in the pulpit after the rapture, who hasn't told people the truth of God's word and pointed them to heaven. I'll also feel sorry as well for those that are still sitting in their church after the trumpet has sounded. Because the real church is going to be out of here. The real church is going to heaven. And what a glorious day that's going to be. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you show us everything. Why do you show us judgment? It's so that we know what you have delivered us from. You are the deliverer. You are the savior of the world. And Lord, to be delivered and to be saved, we need to know what we're delivered and saved from. And Lord, we thank you that you have saved us and delivered us from all of these things which are to come upon the earth. In the meantime, may we sense an urgency for the lost out there. Please, Lord, give us a broken heart for the lost. I pray for the Ukraine. I pray for Russia, China. Pray for Putin. Save his soul, Lord. I pray for Biden. Save his soul and all of those around him that don't know you. Draw them by your Spirit. Open their eyes to the truth, I pray. Because Jesus Christ is coming very, very soon. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for saving our souls. Thank you for new hearts, new lives, and one day a new home in heaven, where we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. No more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sin. It's because of what you have done, Jesus, for us, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.